Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Did you have a good weekend?
I mean, sure. Yeah. What, was there something special that happened this weekend or what?
I mean, it was Easter, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That holiday.
Yeah.
And we had some good food.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we had kids that we were around that were nephews and nieces and stuff.
And it was nice to see them.
It was nice to see them.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was our weekend. Food and family.
Well, do you remember what happened in what we're reading on Friday and where the hell we are today?
Well, we just got done reading, Jeremiah chapter 35.
That is correct.
And in that chapter, I think God wanted Jeremiah to serve the Rechabites alcohol, and then God used them as an example of how well they held to their faith and their ideas and
their principles.
And,
yeah.
And they was like, if you guys don't change your ways, I'm gonna, you know, kill you.
Right. Like he's been saying the whole fucking book.
Right. I'm like, so these guys didn't drink and you're using that as an example as to why you're gonna kill people.
Right.
Okay. Sure. Whatever, man. You know?
Sure.
Cool. So anyway, that was Jeremiah chapter 35.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're getting into
Jeremiah chapter 36.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, hopping into Jeremiah chapter 36.
Okay.
And as we've mentioned before, this chapter is out of order.
Right.
This one and the previous one out of order within the book of Jeremiah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this chapter itself is numbered as chapter 43 in the Septuagint.
Okay.
Which is the Greek one.
Got it.
And we went over that on Saturday, or Q&A Saturday.
Right.
As
right.
to why shit be cray.
Yeah, kind of. You talk more about the books, but I mean, you just said that essentially they don't match up because they don't match up.
Right.
So,
and they're different people were making different copies and the sources sure. were different and the idioms didn't always translate and they just stapled things together in different orders.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so yep. Let's get started on this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Now, it came to pass in the fourth year of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord.
This word.
Saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is God talking.
Mm-hmm.
Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I've spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day.
This is the second time that they've mentioned that God told Jeremiah to write this shit down.
Yeah.
So it's funny because, you know, Jeremiah or his scribe or whatever are hypothetically writing this book, right?
Yeah.
And they seem very mentionitis that God told them to do it.
Totally told me to write it.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Like out of the blue, they're just like, oh, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. No, he told me. I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
Nobody asked.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is God's doing right here.
Yeah.
This is God's word because God told me to do it.
Sure it is, guy. It may be that the house of Judah, this is still God talking, will hear all of the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin.
So By writing it down?
Well, this was back when there was still opportunity for the people to change their ways.
Sure.
So he's like, yes, write it down so that you can like read it out loud to them over and over and over again. And so that other people can have copies to read it over and over and over so that maybe they will change their ways. Because the shit that I have told you is that Babylon gonna get ya.
Got it.
Because y'all ain't acting right.
Do you have, just to back up just a step, you said this is during the reign of Joachim. Joachim, sorry.
Yes.
Do you know what time frame this is? Or
Because
I get lost as to which king was when and how and
right.
who.
Hold on a sec. Let me, because I thought I had some of that shit in my...
And I only ask because Jeremiah goes back and forth and back and forth all the time with regard to time frames and who's in charge and all that shit. So
So Josiah died in 609 BCE.
Okay.
And so some of this probably took place around 604, maybe, question mark.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
BCE.
So this is still kind of a little bit earlier on before it was like really, really shit hitting the fan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So, yeah, there was still lots of time for them to not act like fucks.
Lots of time, meaning like a decade and a half.
Yeah.
Right.
But they didn't, though. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. And he was like, bitch, write this down.
Right. Yeah.
And Baruch's like, didn't God tell you? And Jeremiah's like, shut up and do what I say. And Baruch's like, okay. And Baruch wrote on a scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him.
Okay.
That's a lot of fucking words.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious that, I mean, they're essentially, they're the ones telling the story.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, and Baruch did this thing that he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baruch's silly. Baruch's like, and Jeremiah told me to write this down. And Jeremiah's like, no, talk about yourself in the third person.
Right.
And Baruch is like, oh. Okay. Yeah. Apparently that happens somewhat frequently in the New Testament with some of those apostle-y guys.
Is it more like, is it supposed to be more authoritative when you talk about yourself in the third person?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
I'm just, you know.
And Jeremiah commanded Baruch saying, I am confined. I cannot go into the house of the Lord because he's like in prison or some shit.
Okay.
So you go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting.
So wait, they've imprisoned you for saying the shit that you say.
Yeah.
You want me to write this shit down and then go say it in front of those same people so that what, I can get imprisoned?
Yes, exactly. I'm glad you understand me.
That's bullshit.
No, Baruch, do what I tell you.
Okay.
Just go.
I think that's rude.
No.
Okay.
Just, do you want to be my equal? Do you want to be a prophet guy someday?
I don't know. I mean, the pay is shit.
Doesn't sound like you do.
No.
Baruch.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell your dad.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let me go over to my notes a bit, okay? Mm-hmm. With regard to Jeremiah commanding Baruch, saying he's confined, Jeremiah may have been hindered through fear of Joachim, because he was not actually in prison. He was just confined. So he was kind of free to go within the temple,
yeah,
which is where this is taking place.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay.
So he may have just been scared, or perhaps due to ceremonial uncleanness. Like, it might have been a bad day. He might have, like, ejaculated the night before, maybe. Or, I don't know, pooped sure. his undies.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Right.
Or he may have been forbidden by the princes to enter.
Got it.
So, for whatever reason, he was, I think that he was just like, yeah, Baruch, you do it. You go do it.
Got it.
I'm not going to go. You go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Got it.
Okay. So, then also, when I said now, it was the, oh, no, I didn't say that yet. Nothing. Sorry. Okay. So, he's like, Baruch, go read this shit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And do it in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to say some more about that in a minute. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil ways. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against his people.
If they don't change their ways.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. God is pissed. Go read this.
Right. Okay.
They totally won't get mad at you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now, it came to pass in the fifth year of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say a few things about. Okay,
okay.
First of all, notice that it was the people who proclaimed the fast, not the king.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are they fasting about? Why sure. was there just a random fast declared?
Right.
The fast was related to the fall of Ashkelon on the Philistine territory by the Babylonian army. Okay.
Uh-huh.
A city fell. And so the people were like fasting. Okay.
Got it.
And this probably took place around November of 604 BCE. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this event was recorded in the Nebuchadnezzar Chronicle. And I was like, I'm sorry, excuse you, what?
Right, what is that?
Yeah, I'll tell you that in just a sec, because okay. you know I looked that shit up.
Right.
Okay? And this event may have caused a little bit of terror in Judah, because they had just allied themselves with Egypt since the death of Josiah in 609.
Okay.
Okay? So they're like, oh, fuck me. So they declared a fast.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back to Nebuchadnezzar Chronicle now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
It's also known as the Jerusalem Chronicle, and it's one of the series of Babylonian chronicles, and it contains a description of the first 11 years of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar II.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. All right.
The tablet details Nebuchadnezzar's military campaigns in the West, and has been interpreted to refer to both the Battle of Carchemish and the Siege of Jerusalem in 597 BCE.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And the tablet itself is currently stored in the British Museum.
I think we talked about this once before, actually.
No, that was a different tablet.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I was very excited about this.
All right.
Okay. Also, they have found seals of many of the people, Baruch being one of them.
Hmm.
Yeah. That not all of them have been, like, quote unquote, authenticated.
Sure.
But they have found things that suggest that some of these people actually existed.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
Which, I mean, that makes sense. We've done the bit of research that we have done kind of indicates that the whole Jeremiah and Baruch thing is pretty well established as, yeah, you know,
it's a thing that probably happened.
Right.
Maybe not the way that the Bible records it as happening with sure. all the magic and God stuff.
Right. But that relationship, that entity of writers, that whatever.
Those guys.
They existed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Every time that happens, I'm like, that's cool. Because right. I like history.
Yeah.
All right. So then Baruch read from the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the hearing of all the people.
Okay.
That's a lot of guys. Did you get all that?
Sure.
Okay. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and there all the princes were sitting. Elishama the scribe, Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. And so a lot of those seals of those guys have been found.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just cool.
Right.
Then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought I was going to say Nathaniel, and then my mouth got ahead of me. Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, to Baruch, saying, take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people, and come. Okay. They're like, this is this news, this thing you're reading. This sounds important, so come. We got some guys you need to read this to.
Okay. All right.
So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came to them, these prince guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And they said to him, sit down now and read it in our hearing. So they were like, we have some princes that might need to hear this.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Baruch read it in their hearing. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me go back to my notes here. And Jewish tradition suggests that I'm not there yet. Nothing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That'll come in a minute.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now it happened when they had heard all the words, the princes that were like interested, that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, oh shit.
That's said,
not what
oh, shit.
That's yeah, not what they said. Right, right. But they were like, we will surely tell the king of all these words.
Hmm.
They were like, king's gonna want to know about this because this is bad.
Got it.
And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words at his instruction? So Baruch answered them. He proclaimed with his mouth, not his butt, all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book.
Jeremiah proclaimed them to you.
Yeah.
Or is he saying God proclaimed them to him?
Baruch answered them. He proclaimed with his mouth, Jeremiah proclaimed with his mouth these words to me, and I wrote them with ink.
Right. I'm just saying it would carry more authority if it was coming directly from God, right?
Well, yeah, but they're saying, Baruch, how did you come by this? And Baruch is saying, well, you know that prophet guy, Jeremiah, he told me to write this shit down.
But they don't like him. So I'm not, like, but this whole, like, political aspect of this thing, I'm not really understanding.
Some of them do.
Okay.
Some of them are
so this friends. Is their way of getting around the, you know, snubbing of Jeremiah to reach some of the people that might actually want to hear what he has to say.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They're trying to spread the word.
Got it.
To people that might be able to help.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That are in positions of power that might actually want to know about this and act on it.
Got it.
So then the princes said to Baruch, go and hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. Okay.
Okay.
So that's where I cut myself off. Okay. Jewish tradition suggests that the place of concealment was with the so-called, quote, Grotto of Jeremiah, which is located outside the Damascus Gate.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know how much credence to put in that, but there is a Jewish tradition that says that that's where it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
These people were really, like, not well thought of, though. Apparently, because they had to hide out and get their message spread in different ways.
Yeah.
And like,
but these are princes. So these guys are like, okay, we got you.
But
we hear you.
But I mean, like, when you get higher up into political circles, there are people that want to hear different messages. And if it serves them to hear that message, then like they're probably seeing the reality, right? Like the, hey, these fucking people are coming to attack us and we need to motivate people to do something about it.
Right.
And, you know, if this is the way to do it, then we should go with this. But, like, you know, if it's not what people want to hear, you still have to hide. The messenger is not going to be well thought of overall, but it might serve their political purposes.
That is true. So. That is true. Okay, so these guys, they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe. Okay, and they told all the words in the hearing of the king. So they didn't take the scribe or the people with them. They just went and told the king themselves. Like, king, guy, we got a story to tell you.
Yeah.
And you really want to hear this. This is bad.
Okay.
So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll.
Okay.
Because he's like, no, I need to see this for myself.
Right.
Okay. And he took it from Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. Okay, so when they say he's sitting in his winter house, it wasn't like an entirely different house. It was just like
the wing of the house built for winter.
Yes.
Got it.
Where they had fires going and it the best of the sun making use of that.
Sure.
Okay. And it happened when Jehudi had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth.
So this is political.
Oh, yeah.
Like 100%. Oh,
yeah. 100%. Yeah. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about this.
Yeah.
Okay. It has been estimated that the scroll containing Jeremiah's prophecies was a fairly extensive collection containing several multiples of three or four columns of writing. Because don't forget, these are scrolls, not books, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, another note, scribes use small, sharp knives to trim their reed pens. So, like, cutting wouldn't have necessarily been easy, okay? As all ancient Hebrew manuscript sheets found to date were made of either leather or vellum instead of papyrus, it would have been difficult to cut through them with just a scribe's knife.
Okay.
Scholars therefore conclude that the scroll was likely cut sheet by sheet at the sutures where they were put together.
Right.
Okay. This part is so interesting to me. Probably too many details for you, but I just think this is so interesting.
Yeah.
Researchers have studied the average number of lines per column and the average number of words per line in ancient Hebrew biblical manuscripts to estimate that the text in one of the columns of writing described in this verse would contain a little bit more than one chapter of Jeremiah.
Okay. Right.
So therefore, it has been estimated that the scroll destroyed in the presence of King Joachim would have contained between 18 to 24 chapters of the book of Jeremiah.
Oh, wow.
Which may form the major parts of the first 25 chapters in the current version of the book.
Okay.
So 25 chapters, basically, he cut up and tossed into the fire.
Got it. Yeah.
I don't know. That, like, made it feel more, I could understand what was happening more.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And scroll to book. I don't know how that translates.
Sure. You
know, it's like miles to kilometers kind of thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's doing this and he's cutting it up and he throws it in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they, the princes, were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was worried or scared.
Okay. Yeah.
Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll. They were like, dude, king, my guy, I don't think that was smart. But he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, Sariah, the son of Azriel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them.
The Lord hid them, or the princes said, hey, hide.
Yeah.
You know,
as they had, like, already done.
Yeah.
They were already hided.
Right. They knew this was not going
to
go over
well. That's why the princes, that's why Jeremiah told Baruch to do it. And that's why the princes said, you both need to hide.
That's why I keep saying this all sounds very, this is very political. This is a very
political. Yeah.
Bunch of, like, information. This is
machinations.
All, right.
Is the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that word, and it's perfect here.
Right.
Yes. Now, after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, you know, this whole scroll is gone. Everything that you just wrote, all those hundreds of words, 25-ish chapters, right?
Gone. Right.
Okay. take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Joachim, the king of Judah, has burned. And you shall say to Joachim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you fuckers have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Joachim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of fucking David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. Are you taking note here? I'm telling you to write this shit down.
Right.
You doing it? I'm telling you to write it on top of all the other shit that you already wrote.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, you already told them that 100 times.
Yeah.
They got it.
Right.
Okay, God's still talking. I will punish him, his fucking family, his fucking servants, and all for their iniquity.
What the fuck? The servants?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, oh, I'm punishing everybody. I'm God. I'm capricious.
Yeah.
I'm petty. I am vengeful. I'm a jealous
but
God.
But the thing is, though, this king is petty and jealous and vengeful, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's the one dismissing out of hand these notes. And it's his decision as to whether he's going to make moves to change things with regard to this information or not.
Right.
And yet everybody he knows and has in his...
I'm God. I can't have time for that. I don't want to hear that.
I'm just busy. Saying it's kind of a shit move.
That's I'm all. God. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's like those cartoons on the YouTube where all the time he just goes, because I'm Batman.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm Batman. Like, that's his sole answer. Like, because I'm God.
Yeah.
Because I said so.
Right.
The end. And I will bring on them and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem and on the men of Judah all the fucking doom that I have pronounced against them, but they did not heed.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're basically catching back up to where we were before, you know, like, mm-hmm. remember that time when this already happened and then we had to go back and be like, this is what happened. And now we're back to, okay, so anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Jeremiah took another scroll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah,
yeah.
who wrote on it at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Joachim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And besides, there were added to them many similar words. The end.
Okay.
So that is why this chapter is so fucking repetitive and stupid, because they were like writing it down over and over and over again.
I guess, yeah.
That's my guess.
That whole chapter seemed somewhat pointless. Like, here, write these words down and then go take them to the king. And then the king's going to not like them and then write them down again. I mean,
yeah,
you could have said that so much quicker than what you did.
Yeah.
The king didn't listen. God's going to destroy him and everybody.
He's because they're said, not going to.
Right. I mean, like, there's just nothing new there. You
I
know?
Mean. It was cool finding out that there's some dudes in the castle, some prince guys that are like higher
right,
up
right.
that are kind of...
Yeah, the political intrigue was a nice yeah. touch. I yeah. liked that. But overall, the message was not really new information no. or anything.
It's that, still God saying, I'm gonna get you.
Yeah.
You fucks.
But I do really like the idea of seeing this through a political lens, though.
Yes.
Because to I me, it's... It's what was actually happening. Like that, yeah. that. Now, I can't say that with authority.
Right.
But to me, that's how it feels.
I just like.
It feels like it's a political thing.
I want to read this book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to see this movie. I want to watch this miniseries on Netflix.
Right. Right.
But without all the gobbledygook God stuff, I just want the political intrigue stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I want the guys sitting in the back room going, okay. How do we get the people? Okay, we got to phrase it that God said. Like, that's right, the yeah. story I want.
Well, and for that matter, you could actually take out every reference to God and just make this about the impending doom coming in from Babylon.
Yeah.
And how to prepare for it and why we should prepare for it. It could be a whole different conversation, really.
Yes.
That doesn't even have to involve God.
Yes, that you know? Like I said, that's the story I want to read.
Right.
Yeah. That's the movie I want to watch. That's the show I want to binge.
Yeah.
So somebody get on that.
All right. Well, that was Jeremiah chapter 36.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that we'll be back tomorrow with...
Jeremiah chapter 37.
All right. We'll see you then.
Okie dokie.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.